The announcements. All the announcements. Sweet. Let's make it happen. December 24th. It is always so much fun. Now, it's just not Candlelight Communion. We got some fun things in store for you. So make sure you come out, bring the whole fam. It's going to be a good evening, all right? And then obviously, as you heard Katie say, I just want to reiterate this one more time, but make sure you realize there is no church service right here on that Sunday, the 26th. We're going to do it online, and we want you to participate at home with all your family and friends. So make sure that is listed on your calendar. Don't show up here, but show up at your own home, okay? Just wake up. Pretty simple. Okay. All right, so I think some of you guys know that I'm fairly animated. Oh, by the way, if you don't know me, I'm Josh. I'm the pastor of the church, along with my wife and all the different individuals that are on staff. We're just, I can't say it enough. We love this church. We love you, and we're just thrilled to be a participant of what God has here in Alamance County. It's just such an honor to be a part of that. So introductions, I'm Josh. All right, now here we go. I'm pretty animated, you know. It's hard for me that when I see something, it's you know, I'm going to look real quickly. I'm going to give the eyeball type of thing. I'm going to a jaw-dropping moment. I'm going to be animated. It's going to happen. So last year, all right, I had this little cancer spot arrive on my nose last year. And so, I had too much fun that summer. Right? I think that's what I tried to convince my wife. She was completely nervous and upset with me, but I just kept saying, "But remember all that fun we had in the summer, right?" Anyway, so I had this little spot show up, so I had to go to this doctor's office in Durham or Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill. Kayla's not my wife. Kayla used to work there, so that's the reason why I look. I just couldn't remember. All right, so here I am. I go into this office. I'm really nervous, and I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. And then they start telling me the process, and I was like, ugh. So then they told me, it was like, whatever you do, don't be animated. They're like, just sit very calm in the chair, because it's right here, you know? So they had to make an incision. They had to do all this stuff, so, you know, you're just like this. And you know, and I'm sorry if this makes you queasy, but then they shoot you with a bunch of needles right here, you know, and you're like, right? So, all right, long story short, that really has nothing to do other than the fact of creating a premise here. The nurse is over here to my left. Super sweet, so kind, very lovable. She was like, "What kind of music do you like?" You know, this was Christmas time, and I was like, "I'm good with Christmas." She goes, "All right, Christmas music, you sure? You're a pastor. You're the pastor of Kayla's church. You want Christian music?" And I go, "No, don't. I'm fine. Just leave the Christmas stuff on." Like, you know what I mean? I'm just nervous about everything. So I was like, "Just, it's fine." So she shoots my nose all up, right? So then here comes this doctor and this other doctor. They both stand beside me. There's two doctors beside me and this one nurse, and they start the process, you know? And you know, I'm not enjoying this at all, right? So then they start asking me questions, but they didn't want me to talk. It's like a dentist. It's like the worst. And I was like, you know, whatever. So then the doctor says, "What's some of your guys' favorite Christmas traditions?" Right? The doctor asks this. So the nurse goes, "Well, I gotta tell you something." Now, this blew my mind, by the way. She goes, "My family tradition, every year, we come around the Christmas tree. Now, my children are old now. They're much older, but I still make them do it. We've been doing this since the early 90s. She said, "We read this one book." She goes, "Now, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this book. Have you ever heard of the Polar Express?" I can't move. I do one of these like squint. The doctor might be the kindest, most gentle, bedside manner doctor I've ever met in my life. And he looks at her and he says, "Oh, absolutely. The Polar Express is a wonderful book." He says, "Well, you know about the movie that Tom Hanks did?" And she goes, "No." The other doctor, who's right beside this doctor, goes, Oh, it's a wonderful movie. And they're both just talking about it, how kind it is. And then she goes, I have never heard of this. And I'm sitting in this chair, not able to move. But let me show you what's happening on the inside of me. What in the world? Are you kidding me? And what's wrong with you two? Like, don't even act like she should, like, is okay not to know this. This is Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Yes, 2004. What do you mean? How do your kids not know this movie? How have they not looked at you and said, Mom, forget the book. There's a movie. Like, all of that's just raging inside of me. Like, raging. But I'm not allowed to move. It might be one of the hardest moments of my entire life. For some of you that don't know, the Polar Express was written in 1985. For some of you that only know, the movie was made in 2004. I still to this day am flabbergasted by her not knowing about the movie. However, in my example here this morning, some of you may just think that everyone knows Jesus is the reason for the season. But you would be shocked on how many people don't know this. And I don't want you to stand there with this stoic personality of like, that's okay. It's not okay. You need to rage up inside and look at them and go, what? You don't know that it's about Jesus? Let me share about Jesus. You should be so excited in this moment. When they think that this is just some old story, there's a movie. There's not only a movie, there's all sorts of movies. Not only is there a bunch of movies, there's actually a real Jesus. When I Googled Polar Express, because I'll be real with you all, I came out of that office going, I thought there was only a movie. I was on the other side. So she could have looked at me and been like, what are you talking about? You don't know about the book? The book's been around since 1985. She could have done it back to me. I get it. We all have these moments of like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. But guys, we need to have a real approach to what this season is all about. I was in Ohio this past week. And I was with a friend of mine who's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we're riding in this car with a couple Ohio guys, and we're in rural Ohio, and the guy in Tulsa, from Tulsa, he goes, oh, an Amazon truck. And again, I wanted to be like, where do you think we are? Like Timbuktu? Dude, Amazon's everywhere. And it's Christmas time, Amazon will find a way, all right? Amazon will find a way. But 'tis the season right now, right, where the Amazon trucks are laying down rubber. We've got all the stores are hustling and bustling, and all the loot, well, some loot for some of you, is underneath the tree right now. It's that season right now. And I pray that you realize that it's more than just about the traditions that we as the world have created during this season. It is all about him. It's all about him. And that's really what I want to talk about today. It's about a person named Jesus, the one who left the glory of heaven behind to step into this sin-cursed world. You know, he lived, he loved, he healed, he died on a cold, rough cross buried under our sins. He rose from that grave, and not only did he was raised from that grave 3 days later, but he finished the problem of sin. And that's important for us to recognize. He is seated in heaven. He's praying continually on behalf of you and me. And then on the beautiful side of all of this is those difficulties that we may have, as Pastor Dave brought up this morning, some of those heavy burdens and some of those stress moments and how to deal with these issues. Well, Jesus, he's praying for us that in those daily difficulties of life, guess what? We can overcome them. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the beautiful picture of the presence of Christmas. Not the present, the presence of Christmas. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Guys, for us, when we believe in Jesus Christ, there is a supernatural power, and this supernatural power is righteousness, and that righteousness is a gift to us. It is freely given. It was expensive, but it was freely given. And that salvation, what we have, and it brings it all together, is that every one of us in this room, we're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. That when we hear people say, "Well, you know, Christmas, it's Christmas. It's more than Christmas." There's a presence of Christmas that we need to be aware of, that we need to allow everyone else to be aware of this. All right? We've got to give them this choice, but we need to be the one presenting the choice to them. There is a presence of Christmas. And that presence of Christmas is just not a bunch of warm, fuzzy feelings. This is the knowing of Jesus Christ in your life and what that means. How to participate as a Christian every single day. How to wake up and be victorious over every obstacle the enemy throws at us. How to look into the face of the mountains and say, "No, not today. I'm not going to deal with this mountain." How to overcome any obstacle that comes your way, how to fight sickness and disease, how to overcome the stress of this world. God wants us to walk with him in his presence. And that's what Christmas stands for, the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. So the first thing I want to talk about with the presence of Christmas is that my sins are forgiven. Do you know that my sins are forgiven? Your sins are forgiven. This is huge. I'm not perfect. Let me tell you right now, my wife can attest to this. She can verify my imperfectness. It's very easily done, all right? I am not perfect. And you know, sadly enough, there are moments where I will point out my wife's flaws, not mine. Why would I point out my flaws? But boy, my wife is quick to let me know, "Oh, you think you're perfect." I love it. When you're in a group, if you've gone on double dates and you're on double dates, and then all of a sudden, somehow, there's a few topics that always get brought up no matter what during double dates. One of those is sleeping habits, all right? And in the sleeping habit moment, my first thing is to be like, "My wife talks in her sleep a lot, like every night, not just a little bit, all the time." I've actually caught her, no joke, praying in tongues asleep. That's awesome, right? I want a burglar to come in my house. It's like having 14 shotguns loaded. But no joke, immediately when I bring up her sleeping habits, she immediately wants to bring up mine. She'll verify my imperfectness. And you think that you right now, you're like, "Oh, he's going to tell us." Nope. Because I'm perfect. Guess what? I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I am washed white in the crimson blood of Christ. Right? My conscience is completely clean, and it does not torment me. It does not torment me or weigh me down. This is a true gift from God. Many of us, we have the notion that a gift must be tangible. But guess what? That tangible for me is no weight, no heavy burdens. That tangible for me is having a clear conscience, to know that my sins have been forgiven. I feel forgiven 365 days out of the year. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sins, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man's death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Paul is telling us that, yes, and some of you may go, that was a lot of scripture, and I don't know anything that he was saying. Let me put it up this way, okay? Adam sinned, and it went through all generations. And some of us till this day, we're sinning. It's happening because we're not perfect. We have not reached that glory to glory to glory yet, right? But guess what? What the scriptures are telling us is that by Jesus Christ alone, that it covers more than all of those sins, times more of all of those sins, times more of all of those sins, that we know that Jesus Christ's blood covered the multitude of sins. How much more we see. Guys, this is a refreshing understanding that, guess what? You are free from sin. You don't need to sit here and think about the past. You don't need to have the worries of guilt and condemnation, because why? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I am free. You are free. The second thing, the presence of Christmas, is what? I love other people. This is a good gift. I love other people. You know that God has put the supernatural love of Christ into my heart, into your heart. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 10. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." What a beautiful picture. When we're given the example of the love that God has, then we actually know that for a fact that he loves everyone, that every nation, tribe, people, and language. And by this example that we should follow, we too have the same ability to love every nation, tribe, people, and language. You know what? I love everyone. I love you no matter what your size, attitude. Some of you thought I was talking about physical. Your size, attitude. Your shape, there we go, physical. Color, geographical location, rich or poor, even you little mean ones. I love even the ones who disappoint me. It's got to come from the presence of God. When you can look through all of those issues, all of those hardships, those moments where you're just like, oh gosh, they're hard to love. Jesus, oh gosh, this one's a little mean one. This one hurts. This one knows how to poke you in all the bad places. Guess what? God's love, it supersedes. In 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. It's important that we begin to strive towards this understanding of God's love in our lives, that we live it. We live it out. It's not something that we just say it, but we do it. The other moment I want to talk about the presence of Christmas is I feel direction. I know direction. I know this. God's presence directs me. I know what I should be doing, where I should go. I'm not aimlessly walking. I have purpose. Now, hear me out. You guys need to understand that Christ's living inside of you, you're going to have the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. When you open up your ears to hear and your eyes to see through the things of God, how God operates through his word, through his understanding, when you begin to meditate on his word, when you begin to pray, when you begin to lean in, you're going to see the presence of God living inside of you, and God's presence is going to be so tangible upon your life that the direction you're supposed to go is 100% knowing this is what I've got to do today. No one's going to deter you. No one, no thing is going to put a stop in you moving forward. Nothing. And when you do get a stop, trust me, if it's from God, he'll let you know, and you'll know it's from him. But if you are moving forward in the presence of God, what's so wonderful is that when something tries to confuse you, the enemy is a horrible poker player. The enemy sits at the table with his card sticking outwards. It's confusion. It's a sense of anxiety, fear, doubt. When those things creep in, you should be aware of this and to say, I'm going to call this out for what it is. It's the devil, and I'm not going to play with this. I'm not going to do this right now. I'm not going to believe that. That's not true. And so it's a wake-up call to go, nope, that's not how God operates. He does not operate in fear. He does not operate with anxiety. He does not operate in a way to cause you to be crippled or debilitated. He doesn't operate this way. He brings life into your situation. So Jesus knew what God had prepared for him, and he lived in the confidence and the courage of that understanding without discouragement. And Jesus is the great example for all of us. So I have purpose. I have direction. I know that direction. I'm not going to sit here, and as James tells us, I'm not going to be tossed to and fro. I know where I'm supposed to go. So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. I love just the plain simplicity of this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Boy, this is good knowledge moment. This is a golden nugget truth for us to hold on to. That we need wisdom. We need wisdom. Wisdom is direction. Wisdom is knowing. Oh man, I need to be doing this. I've got good wisdom. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. Your time, your talents, your assets, everything. This is where you've got to buckle down. You got to go, do I want it? Yeah, I want it. I don't want to live this life of I hope in a way of rolling the dice of hope. You know, I'm all about hope in Christ, but not hope in the world. All right? So for you in this room, there's some decisions that need to be made. I want the wisdom of God. I want what he has for me, and I'm willing to what? I'm willing to turn all of this worldly things over to him and say, God, this is yours. I don't want this. I can't stay in this relationship any longer. This relationship is toxic. All right? Some of you got some toxic relationships. Some of you in this room, you're watching some things that are misguiding you in the wrong direction. We've got to stop. Some of you guys are so politically amped up. It's like a charge, man. I've been in that room. I was in a room last week, actually, and I just barely talked about something, and it was like lightning bolts, man. People coming out, all the political jargon, all these things. Boy, it was crazy. And then I just slowly walked out of the room. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. You guys want to talk about Jesus yet? Oh, no. All right. I'm out. Man, forget it. I'm bringing Jesus where I'm going. I want to talk about Jesus. That's the most important thing that we can talk about. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's over it all. All right? So as far as I'm concerned, I'm kingdom-minded. All right? I may live in this nation right now. All right? And whether I move to New Zealand, South Africa, South America, guess what? He is still Lord over all. I live kingdom-minded, not worldly-minded. I will not be defeated. So therefore, I have direction because I know who my king is. I know who sits on the throne. I'm a basketball coach now, reluctantly. I was voluntold by my wife. It was awful. The YMCA, my boys wanted to play basketball. We're a soccer family. I'm a basketball kid, but my kids really, they took to soccer. So I was like, I love soccer. But so this year they're like, we want to play basketball. So we're like, all right. We signed them up to the YMCA. And for some reason, they always put kids on, like, that are new, all on the same team. And then all the kids who've been playing together forever, they put them on this other team. And it's awful. And so I'm sitting there yesterday, and I'm coaching. And I got this one little boy on my team, and he's really good. He's really good. So after the game, I went to him, and I said, listen, man. I said, you got a lot of talent, but you don't talk. And that was his response back to me. I, like, got down in his face, right? And I was like, dude, listen, you are really good. But here's the problem. No one knows what you're doing on the court. I mean, he's got some ball handling skills that are like Jason Williams. Some of you aren't old school like myself. But Jason Williams, man, that guy could pass a ball. And to watch Jaden come down the court and do a little juke and then do one of these like passes. And let me tell you something. As a coach, I was proud. I wasn't ashamed. Like, it was a legitly good pass. The problem was the other kid on the court had no idea what was happening, right? So I told him, I said, dude, talk. Like, you got to tell him, hey, I'm going to set you up, all right? And I want you over here. I need you to command the court. I've got to, you're, and I even looked at him and said, dude, you've got to look at this as a chessboard, and you're the king. And you being the king on this court, you're going to tell your players where you need to go. You need to step up as a leader, and you need to tell them where you want them to be. Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you guys might be shocked and amazed, but guess what? We have a king, and he's telling us where to go. There's a purpose for your life. There's a direction he wants you to go. If you are sitting in this room, now, I don't want you to do this, but I do. I want you to get this finger, and I want you to do this. Point it right at your chest. If you're sitting in this room and you're saying, God's not talking, I want you to look at that finger and go, you're not listening. Because I'm going to tell you right now, our God, he knows what he's doing. Yeah. He has a plan and a purpose. And he wants you to be a part of it. And he's talking to you. Terrence, I've got plans for you. I need you to do this. So if you're sitting here for one split moment of a second and you're saying, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. God doesn't talk. Why does he talk to everybody else? Why doesn't he talk to me? Well, this is a wake-up moment. There's something you've got in your ears. And I'm not talking about a physical thing of something in your ears. I'm talking about the notion of you've put in some other things that are louder than him. Yeah. You haven't made him Lord over your life. You don't realize the kingdom that you're living in. You need to wake up, literally wake up, but also spiritually wake up. Wake up to God's surrounding kingdom in your life and to say, hey, God, what is it? What is keeping me from knowing what and where you need me to be? I want to be ready. I want to receive what you need. I want to be able to pass it off to where it needs to go. I want to get it to the goal that you have in store for this kingdom here on this earth. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a vessel. And there's so many Christianese terms I can use right now that you've all heard 100,000 times. You are what? You are clay in the potter's hands. He's not sitting there going, beep, 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 beep. I hope it looks good. He's got purpose. He's not sitting here just like playing with it, brr, brr, and then make it all this weird thing and then just watch it spin off. He's actually got purpose and he's forming it together. So for you to sit here and say, God doesn't talk to me. Oh, no, you don't listen to him. That's hard. But I know the presence of Christmas is knowing I have direction. I have real, true direction. I have wisdom. Jeremiah 33, 2 through 3, through the message, it says, God, this is God's message. The God who made earth, made it livable and lasting, known everywhere as God, call to me, he says, and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. There it is. It's dumb. Guys, there's three easy steps with this right here. It's setting time apart for prayer, spending time reading God's word, and praying in faith. Praying for the miraculous. Praying and believing for things to just come out where you, man, that is only by him. And then you know that his presence is more real than you've ever experienced in your entire life. Pray in faith. My last and final fourth thing here this morning is what? The presence of God here in this Christmas season is that I feel hope, real hope, tangible hope. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I have hope that when those storms and those trials and those tribulations may come, guess what? I have hope. I have tangible hope that I know that I can go to God's throne with confidence and that I can receive that mercy and that grace to help us in our time of need. You know that God's presence in my heart tells me that life is going to be okay. It tells me. I know it. God's presence tells me, you know, things are going to work out. It's going to be okay. Life is more than possessions, right? Positions and prestige. Whatever I lose, whatever goes wrong, I still have one constant in my life, and that's his presence. And that supersedes any type of position, prestige, or any type of possession that you may think you need. His presence supersedes all of those things. This is a gift. It's free. As I mentioned earlier, it was expensive. It cost Christ his life. But this is a free gift for all of us in this room. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to what? Trust in him. We've got to seek him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and hope does not put us to shame. Oh, I love that. Oh, man. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Not me. Not just you. To us. The nursery rhyme doesn't say, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and blue, Jesus loves me more than you. That's not how that nursery rhyme goes, right? Not at all. Some of you have thought that for others, but that's not how it works. He loves us all. He has given to us all the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in this, guess what? Hope does not put us to shame. God's love has been poured out into our hearts, every one of us in this room. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. It will not be cut off. What a beautiful promise for every one of us in this room. To conclude my message this morning, you know, during the season of Christmas, there's this presence. Some of us have just a worldly notion of present, of God, I have this need, I need this met, give it to me tangibly. Guess what? You are the gift. You are the present. That when you reveal yourself to people, truly reveal yourself to people with an openness of love that only comes from Him, your present will be revealed to others as His presence. When you open up your life to others to show them and to reveal to them the goodness of God, then guess what? You are giving them something tangible that only they can recognize as God in your life. That you can look at them and go, man, I walk away and I walk around sinless. I'm not thinking about these things. I don't carry this consciousness, this heaviness, this condemnation of sin on my life. It's free. I'm gone. I have true love for people. I have a true hope. I have a true understanding of direction in my life. When you give that present to others to see, it's tangible. Some of us, we just chalk up that relationship with God of this, you know, it's kind of like this weird, whatever, floaty thing. No, it's not. It's real. It's tangible. You're the gift. God told us, Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Acts chapter 2, every one of us in this room, there's a great commission. There's a boldness that we can pray for. There's an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that needs to be shared. When you grab a hold of that revelation and the great commission that's on your life and on every one of us in this room, there's a true desiring purpose that just boils up out of you. And when you're sitting in a chair and someone says, I don't know anything about Jesus. What? Let me tell you about Jesus. Some of you need to have a great awakening in your own lives of that presence. Some of you need to realize that you have been set free. Some of you in this room, you are aimlessly walking around. And I'm not going to belittle the notion of how you got there or why it's happening. I understand. It's hard at times. Life's difficult. People are mean. People disappoint. It didn't go the way you wanted it to. That set expectation to the result of how it happened, I get it. Man, it's tough at times. And you can sit there and you can wallow in that. You can sit there with all these labels on your chest. All of these identities that you've collected over the years. I'm this, I'm that. But I'm here to tell you, when you let go of those things, you lay them at the feet of Jesus, and you come to Him and you say, all right, not me, but you. I've got to decrease. You've got to increase. I'm the one trying to put all this responsibility of provision and happiness and joy. And Jesus comes in and says, no, I bring those things. And I bring them to where they're real and they're everlasting. And as Paul says, as we continue to press on to that goal from glory to glory to glory, you're going to continue to just grow in that knowledge of God in your life. And God's going to want you. God's going to use you. He's going to need you at times. He's going to say, hey, listen, I got this person over here. You're a present to them. You're a present that reveals my presence. And boy, I tell you what, there's not a greater moment. I was in Ohio, and this guy found me after church. He So it was my friend's church. I'm on a board up there at this church. And so this guy comes to me, and I've never met him in my life. I didn't even know him. And he comes running up, and he's standing there. This other guy was talking to me, and you could tell he was like all jittery. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? He said, hey, I'm such and such. I just want you to know something. He goes, my wife and I, we watch you guys, your church down in North Carolina every single Sunday. And if you're watching now, I love you. So he says, my wife loves listening to your wife. She goes, she just loves to hear the word that God's given your wife. And I thought, how cool is that, right? You don't even know. You don't know that just being a vessel for the kingdom of God, a willing, open vessel just to pour out, not with, there is intention, but not intention to go, that person in Ohio, they're going to hear this. You don't know. You don't know how this sound that you make out of your mouth would travel and how it continues to travel. You're an example of the kingdom of God. My encouragement and my challenge to you this week is that you begin to be a present for others to experience the presence of God. Let's pray.